Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father, knowing that you're the same to every generation, Lord God, and Father, that you're not one given to change, Lord, and even though the religious order of this day has created a new God and a new Jesus, Lord God, and one that's different than the one I read in my scriptures, Father, help us, Lord, not to be moved by this, but let us continually walk in the Spirit of the living God. Don't let us question your mind and your spirit, Lord God. Help us. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can all be seated. I tell you, I love to pray. A little book that's going to be coming out soon. It's got the little article in it about the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. I know that's scriptural. And I know that the only righteousness is that is in Christ. And I do know that when you find the Spirit of God intercessing within you, the Bible said, pray in the Holy Ghost and build up your innermost strength. Praying with utterances and things that can't be uttered. In the Pentecostal world, and the Pentecostal realm puts so much significance on tongues, and that's okay. But we need to remove from the significance of the tongue into the significance of being filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of power. I know you've heard many messages about that over the years and months. But it is very much so a problem. People having a form of godliness but denying the power of God. You know, the thing is we know that so oftentimes that people want to vindicate their existence or their callings or their Christianity or things through knowledge. And so oftentimes people think it's knowledge that their knowledge vindicates or justifies their salvation. I do know that my Bible said that men die from a lack of knowledge. When he says in the scriptures and Psalms that you are God's, but you die like mere men from a lack of knowledge. So knowledge does go along with salvation. But we have to differentiate between the knowledge of the intellectual concepts of religion and the true, genuine spirit of knowledge. There's a difference between the spirit of knowledge and an intellectual knowledge. And the thing is that they're so close together that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. But then yet, when you really look through the mind of Christ, they're as far as the east is from the west. The Bible said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. It takes something that sharp to divide the soul and the spirit. But once you see the division of it, then they're as far apart as the east is from the west. But most will never see that nor comprehend that. I'm not speaking boastfully, brethren. I'm speaking that it takes the mind of Christ to differentiate, to discern. And we could be walking in an intellectual religion through the knowledge attained from reading and studying. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. So we're supposed to study. But what are we studying in? Are we studying in the Spirit of God? Or are we studying in intellectual concepts that we were trained in education in school? And you think, well, I only know one way to do it. Well, then I invite you to get filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit of God will take you into means and ways and things. When the Bible talked about, as I said a moment ago, about praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, with these groanings and utterances and things, you know, there's something that's taking place in the spirit world, in the spirit realm. You find your mind being rejuvenated, regenerated, and the power of God changing you in such a way. And then the revelation that you come to is that you cannot depend on your intellect and your mind and your ways. You see, there's too much ABC religion. Well, this is the way we do it. You know, we say, all stand together. Then we say, bow your head, please. I don't want any eyes moving. I don't want anybody looking around. I want you to bow your head. I'm not mocking that, brethren. And I even do that myself sometimes to get people into a state that's not altogether wrong. But I'm talking about the ABCs of religion. And we get into this ABC 1, 2, 3. This is the way we do evangelism. This is the proper way. And it's not wrong, brethren. Don't misunderstand me, but it goes beyond that. And we draw people into the altars and they say a prayer. Synerlect. Say this prayer. Repeat this after me. I've done that. I'm not saying it's altogether wrong, but it goes beyond that. We got to go beyond that. I don't want to ever make it look like I would be lightly esteeming or mocking these things, but you see, these things have replaced the drawing of the Spirit, the unction of the Holy Ghost, and moving by the Spirit. When I came to understand the revelation of the Lord, I came to understand that you could win a soul by putting your finger in a man's face and rebuking him and saying, "Get you behind me, Satan, you savor the things that be of the flesh." And it shakes that man to his innermost core. And all of a sudden that puts such a fear of God that he gets a hold of his spirit, and that spirit been recognized, and it flees from that man, and that man falls on his face before God and repents of his sin and gets born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and walks in the demonstration of the power of God. And then there's other times it might be the embrace to a drunk and hold him and say, "I love you and God loves you." But you got to know when which one is. When you got the drunk in your face and he's wanting you to feel sorry for him and he's wanting you to show mercy to him and these kind of things, you got to learn to understand what the con is. You see, when we talk about the wiles of Satan, with the deceptive powers of Satan, and he beguiled Eve. And you think of this woman being beguiled of this serpent that's more shrewd than any man ever. But then yet when this serpent enters into a man or into a woman, we find the same cunning, shrewdness, and deception. And we've got to learn to discern the voice. The Bible said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow." But then yet I find people that profess Christianity following after voices, strange things on a continuous basis. You see, God's grace is sufficient, brethren. He's merciful to us. Do you realize that? I thank God for that. You know, I'm one that's needed the mercy and the grace of God. You know, sometimes you hear me preach and exhort and reprove, rebuke, and do these kind of things, and you think that I'm separated from that? You know, it's not that I'm up here, boy, you know, pointing my fingers and saying this. Like I heard one man say, he said, when you point a finger out there, you got three pointing back at you. So yeah, I'm three times more accountable. And the thing is, brethren, is that we're on a journey. You know, as an aviator, it could be right here in the Carolinas. I could be out at the airport, the sun's shining beautifully. You know, clear sky and shining beautifully. Take off, pull your wheels up, clean your airplane up, get your altitude set, and you got your course. Boy, everything's fine. Man, it's really smooth air. Everything's beautiful. And just within a matter of minutes, all of a sudden the horizon could change. It could go black. All of a sudden you see lightning and thunder hitting around you and about you. And all of a sudden the airplane getting rough. I've been in air so bad they had what we called a maneuvering speed. That if I would have maintained cruise speed, it would have tore the airplane apart. The air gets so rough that you're holding on to the wheel and all of a sudden you're in a 90 degree bank and you got straightened out. Bounce back in. Just like going down the road in a car with big giant potholes and different things. Just bounce out of the airplane. And those, you could change from one thing right into the next. But what about your journey with God? Oh man, praise God. Hallelujah. Everything is great. Glory to God. Man, the sun is shining bright. Glory to God. And all of a sudden you're in the midst of a storm. All of a sudden you're in the midst of a travail, a fight. How many Christians are ready to fight? How many of them are ready to travail? How many of them are ready and skilled against the adversary? You see, because of things and activities and minds and different kind of things, drunk on the cares of the world and different things, sometimes we don't even recognize the enemy and he's moving in to kill and to destroy. You ever watch some of these wildlife movies? I know I use allegories and things, and I'm not promoting television movies, I know, but we've all seen wildlife programs. And you know, I think about raising up as a kid. And, you know, Brother Pike wrote some stories about, you know, Cinderella, and wrote some stories about the little glass slipper and these kind of things. He goes, "Look, I'm a, you know, I am not reading these books and fairy tales as a minister of God." He said, "But, you know, the Lord took me back to childhood and I saw these things, how he was speaking to humanity through these kind of things." And he was expressing revelational things by those kind of things. Like I say, we might use aviation. We might use farming. You know, we might use whatever, something to bring you into an understanding of a revelation. But I think of an animal, you know, and it's just, you know, he's out there grazing in the green grass, man, and it's heaven to an animal, you know, when he's out there grazing in the green grass. But then you look in the camera on some of these things and it shows this cheetah or a lion or whatever, and it's bowed down, crouched down, and it's stalking them. And the thing's just sitting there. "Hey, this is nice, boy. Look at this green grass I got here." And he doesn't realize One might be at the water hole cooling itself and drinking like that and doesn't see the alligator just slipping up. I've seen them take a pretty good sized beast on some of these programs and yank it right down into the water. You see, and we could be going along in life thinking that everything, praise God. You know, and you say, well, Brother Rob, we're Christians. You know, we got a hedge of protection around us about the Holy Ghost and things, and we should be enjoying life. I think you've got the wrong idea. Paul said that he travailed until Christ be formed in you. He spoke of travail. My Bible says to the sons of God and the Christians, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. When you're looking for your liberties and a good time in this world, you'll die in this world. We're not of this world. You realize that? You see, an ambassador in another country, when he's in that country, he's not there to enjoy the landscape and the things and the frolics of that country. He's there in the behalf of another people that aren't of that country. The people from this country that are there visiting that country, he is there in their sake to make sure they're done righteously, because this man's trained in the international laws and the different things to protect the people. And the thing is we're here to redeem. We are here for one reason and one reason only, brethren. And we're looking for the elect. And we're gleaning them out of the snare of this world. And you say, well, if they're the elect, they're going to come out anyway. But if they're not the elect, they're never going to hear. And then we go, but do we just quit? Well, if they're the elect, they're going to come. See, this is a part of the problem with some of the Calvinist doctrine. Well, if, you know, well, bless God, if I'm predestined in Christ and I'm, you know, and I'm the elect of God, it doesn't matter. If I'm not, it doesn't matter. But the Bible again says, make your call and election sure, doesn't it? So we got to somewhere learn to press, to fight, and we're in a fight, a travail. Why did he send us into this world? To win souls. And if we're not winning souls, we'll lose ours. I'll promise you that. Now listen to me. If you're all about you, you're going to perish. My Bible says if you seek after your own salvation, you're going to lose it. But you seek after somebody else's, you'll find it. That's just God's way. And if you're seeking after other souls, your soul's going to be added. If you're seeking for forgiveness for others, then you found forgiveness. It's just God's way. You understand that? If you're seeking to help somebody else, you're going to find all the help you need. It's just the way it works. I'm sorry if you've tried it another way. Christianity isn't all about you. It's all about them. When your Christianity is all about you, and you're reading the Bible because it's all about you, and it's all about you, it's all about you, and what you can get, what you contain, you don't have any understanding at all. You read the Bible to help others. You seek after wealth to help others. You seek after everything is for others. That's God's way. Now, let's use Jesus. If he's the firstborn of many brethren, he's our example. Show me what he was doing in this world that was for him. Somebody tell me. What was he doing that was for him? He wasn't doing anything for him. He glorified the Father. He spoke everything to the spirit world. Everything he pointed to the spirit world. He came and laid his life down. He was abused. He suffered. And he did these things for others. Are you getting the revelation there? This is what it's all about. It's about others. The Bible is written for others. You see, people don't like to hear that. They think, oh, I read my Bible, man, and it's I. I like what Brother Author Burt said, you know, and he said, cock-a-doodle-doo. You know? I heard Brother Pike in a message the other day, and he said, he goes, well, I would like to come in here and testify about what God is doing and how he's using us. But he said, if you testify of yourself, the Bible says your testimony isn't true. Now, how many things do we get in and differentiate and tear apart like that? How many things do we go in there and say, wait a minute, line upon line? I could take you into a scripture where it said that Jesus, where he testified about his own self. Then what are you going to do with that? Well, it's not true. You see, this is why we go line upon line. And people use the word of God skillfully in the flesh for them, for their own admiration, for their own good, for their own strength, for their own gains. Prosperity preachers get in, they take the word of God and said that you have to sow. You need to give. You need to plant some seed. You need to give to me. You need to tithe to me. You need to do this. See, they've got a truth there, but they've perverted it to about them. It's all about them. It's all about their money, all about their finances. It's all about them. You see, your average Christian in this day and hour don't believe. I was talking with a man that claims to be a great Bible scholar, and he esteems himself great, and he got upset with me because I said that the reign of God comes on the just and the unjust. It's like, wow, I got Bible for this. And everybody gets on this little thing on there and says amen and yes and I like and I like and I like and I like. And who pushed the like button on somebody that is absolutely defiling the doctrine? It just shows you ain't got the Spirit of God. Two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. And when you're pushing a like button on somebody that's in error and destroying people with their perverted doctrines, then you're just as perverted as they are. But this social media is the most filthy, perverted thing. I keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And we could talk about, oh, there's some positive things that's come out of it and thus, thus, and thus. And I could say yay and amen. But we keep utilizing it in error. You understand that? Television's filthy and perverted. Would I put a message on the television that's trying to win souls? Yes, I would. But the thing is if I think because I'm putting a message out there on the television to win a soul that I could eat everything else that the television has got, then I'm going to perish with all the television of hell. Are you with me, saints? Are you listening to me? There's minds, doctrines, and things that are going forth that people are perishing in. And they're believing a lie and they're being damned. And they're getting things and eating of things. Do you realize you can't eat poison without it killing you? Well, my Bible says that we could eat any deadly thing and it won't harm us. I understand what the Bible says. So you'll find out. I preach the gospel. I preach the word of God. Amen. And we got to be very careful what's going on. Had a sister in this church and she goes down to get her tires rotated. And all of a sudden the guy that was rotating the tires was a preacher and he defied me. So she had strength and she come and defied me. Oh, well, I heard this. Well, why is all of a sudden because you heard something different than me from him that you jump on that? Let's go to the Word. Let's go to the Scriptures. You see, and as I tell people continually over and over and over again, I say, we got to find out where we're at. And I know I wear dimensions out continually, but I cannot read my Bible without differentiating dimensions. I'll never know the Word. I'll never understand the heights, depths, widths, and lengths of God's Word. What are the heights? What are the widths? What are the depths? What are the mysteries? What are the secrets? And if it's hid from the wise and prudent, then what makes you think that something couldn't be hid from you in your much wisdom of your spirituality? What makes you think if it's hid, how do you know there's something not hid from you? Now, if I hide something out here, naturally speaking, I go hide it, you don't know nothing about it. And you don't feel like you're missing anything because I done hid it. But what if I let you know I had something hid for you? And you got to find it, then you dig and search. But what are we looking for? What have we walked by? What have we failed to see? What is it? You see, overconfidence, arrogance, forwardness, pride is a destroyer of the spirit world. It really doesn't destroy the spirit world, but it just destroys you from being partakers of the spirit world. What is this spirit world and where is it at? And how does it operate? You see, it's very, very peculiar. That's why the Bible said we, the sons of God, are peculiar people. Because we're not like the world. We don't think like the world. You see, the world indoctrination of the world, when you want something, you seek after it, and you grab it, and you step on heads, whatever you got to do to get it. Christians don't do that. You've heard me differentiate wealth before. The Bible says it very clearly. It said that there is riches and wealth that testify against you on the day of judgment. In other words, you stand before the Lord, you see this home you got, and this automobile you got, this airplane you got, this you had to rob and lie and cheat and steal to get that. Oh, but I'm a good businessman, I don't rob, lie, and cheat, and steal. Well, the first thing you are is you're a liar. Because every businessman, I've been with some big ones. And no, they don't lie and cheat and steal in your ways and things, but they're always looking and they'll take advantage of the weak. They'll take advantage of the weak and they'll take what they've got to make their gains. They'll buy them out. They'll wait till they get in trouble. Brother Pike taught you could buy an automobile that has a curse on it. Because of some shrewdness and you go out and buy a car because somebody got in trouble and swallow it up out of bankruptcy, that car will have a curse on it if it was a son of God's car. And it was no, and they showed no grace and no mercy. There needs to be an element of grace with everything. And he's seen his brother make purchases by car. He said, brother, that car has got a curse on it. It'll never work. Do you believe in curses? Does anybody in here believe in curses? I hope you do. Well, Jesus said that he didn't come to curse, but he came to bless. I know what he came to do, but you need to understand the word. You see, if you don't believe in curses, then you ain't going to understand it. You are under one. How many believe that God's the same to every generation? How many believe that God is the same God of the Old Testament with all this bloodshed? Do you believe He's the same God? Why isn't there bloodshed today? There was bloodshed of His Son, atone. But do you think that because Jesus came and died, that God made these changes and He's not the same kind of God? You're going to realize He's the same God when the blood runs through the horse's bridle. I've stood over there in Israel and I was up on the Mount Carmel looking over that valley where this is going to take place. That valley is so big and so vast and so mad. It's inconceivable. And we don't think that God is a God like that. And then when I was saying I'm speaking to this, I just made a comment and talk about the reign of God coming on the just and the unjust. You know, and he says, well, you're saying that God blesses sin. I said, I never said anything as such. And they're in these doctrines that God does not curse. But what was Ananias and Sapphira's deal? That's New Testament now, brother. And this is after the crucifixion and the resurrection. What was the deal there? If this isn't the case, let's read some Bible. And I'm going to go to the Old Testament. I know where you're going to go in your mind. Well, that's Old Testament. It's old things. But you want to take the blessings out of the Old Testament, but you don't want to take the curse out of it. Why? Why do you want to receive all the blessings out of it? Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Let's read verse 1 right here and go on down. It's a pretty big chapter. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. I wrote a writing a few months back, and boy, you're never going to get through this, Rob, if you keep doing this. But I said the biggest word in the English language. Does anybody know what the biggest word in the English language is? Two-letter word, if, the biggest word in the English language. What does it say right here? If thou shalt hearken diligently. You know, I could come to church here and I could find the Spirit of God expressing through me. And I mean, just tearing me out of the frame, trying to deliver my soul and my heart. And then I look and they're not listening, nor hearkening. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do some of His commandments. That's right. I'm not going to change the word, but I'm going to make sure you're with me. All right? And do all of His commandments. Now you can go over to the New Testament and say, well, the Bible said if you're going to try to make it in by the commandments, you've got to do every one of them, every jot and tittle, every little commandment. So I'm not going to do none. Let me cast the devil out of you, please. I tell you, people got too skilled with the Scriptures, but they don't know how to read the Word by the Spirit of revelation. Amen? This word is spiritually discerned, the Bible says. Not intellectually perceived. Spiritually discerned is totally different. Let me tell you the difference between intellectually receiving something and spiritually discerning it. A man could walk up, hey, Brother Rob, how you doing, brother? Man, it is so good to see you. I love you. And he is doing nothing but, like the Bible said, they came to spy out your liberties. Come to spy out your liberties, and he's got every move and every tactic trying to put you into a snare and trying to destroy you. See, discernment is like you're shaking his hand, hey, I love you too, brother. And you got, just like they did when they were building the walls back, they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. You understand that? But the thing is you got to understand the spirit world to see that or differentiate it or to understand it. There's too many things that are happening in the spirit, and we're looking at the things that appear, and we're hearing the audible things. The audible things are full of deception, the things you hear with this ear. The vibrations that hit that ear and vibrate that eardrum, and it sends those nerves and these things down into that mind, that brain, that hunk of mush in your between your ears. And it shoots these electronic vibrations down in there, and all of a sudden you're perceiving it with a thought. It's all intellect. You see, but there's another world that is totally separate from that. Another realm altogether. The thing is in this dispensation of grace, there's a dimension of taking the things out of the intellect and converting it through the filter of spirit. And we have to learn to do that. Try the spirit and see if it would be of God. Now the thing is if we put our confidence in our flesh, in our memorizations, in our Bible quotes, we're going to perish with that. Let me tell you, we'll perish. We got confidence and trust in one thing and one thing only, and that's God, the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, His ways are not my ways, and I got to quit trying to make my ways religious for I can feel like I'm in His ways, because it turns Him off really fast and really bad. We got to learn what moves the spirit world. You see, the things that move the spirit world, the natural people don't see it. You know, it shook the heavens when the woman gave the widow's mite, didn't it? It shook the heavens. But you see, in a church, nobody would have noticed when they gave the penny. But brother such said, hey brother, I'm going to give $10,000 tonight. $10,000. Yeah, good brother, go ahead. We'll use it for the glory of God, but it ain't going to do you no good. Well, my Bible says to give secretly. I understand that too. But then yet, the Bible said to give honor whose honor due. We might testify to the fact, say, you know, brother came in and gave a very large offering. Man, thank you, Jesus. Amen. There wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But when the man's spirit was recognition to be lifted up and exhorted higher than the rest because of his financial, that's his reward. He might need to learn to do it secretly. So when is there a time to do it openly? When is there a time to do it secretly? It depends on the spirit of the individual. You know, there's people that have done exploits that the Lord would say, I don't want you to even recognize it. Because they had that spirit. And I'm a soul winner and I can't feed devils. And when you do something to be esteemed or recognized before the brethren as somebody better or this and that, and then I praise you, recognize you, I fed a devil. And the Lord said, I don't want you to say nothing. And that's hard for me because I want to give honor to who honor's due, like the Bible says. But I still follow the leading of the Lord. And He said, don't say nothing. They got to get that spirit broke. They got to get that thing dealt with. You got to find out. Flattery diggeth a pit. See, someone come, man, Brother Rob, thanks, man. I tell you, I appreciate the message tonight. Man, it really ministered to me, brother. It helped me. I say, well, praise God, bro. And I'd be okay. But see, another one could do it with flattery. And boy, I step back, it grieves my spirit. Because all you're doing is you think that you're praising a preacher and you're digging a pit for him to fall into. And I say, why did you have to put that hole there? There's people, brethren, if you watch things by the Spirit, there's people that are moved by certain things that other people aren't. I got brethren, if you watch it by the Spirit, and this don't phase them, and another person it phases. You have to understand that. But how are you going to find that out? How are you going to learn that? You see, you have brethren that could take care of a task for you. We were doing an exploit out of the state, and a brother come there and he goes, I'll take care of it. I said, no, sir, I don't want you taking care of this. I know how you are. You beat people up when it comes to business negotiations. You choke them to get a better deal. I would rather pay more. Brother Pike went in to buy a car with his son. Some of you know the story. But I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm just telling you how the Spirit of God works. Some of it's going to cross you up a little bit because you ain't going to like what I'm going to say. Because it sounds like a man of God. A man of God isn't being thrifty or the way he should with finance. But the pastor went in and was buying a new car. And his son went in with him. And his son started negotiating the deal. And he said, oh, no, you're going to have to do better than that. You're going to have to do better. And I bought cars the same way. I've done the same thing. But somewhere in the negotiations of this car, it grieved the Spirit of God. Because they were purchasing an automobile in the name of Jesus Christ, eternal kingdom of abundant life. This is what the car was being purchased by. And we don't ever want to go in and do something in the name of the Lord that's going to bring a reproach to the kingdom of God. So, you know, the pastor letting his son do the negotiations. I spoke with the guy doing the negotiation. It was a friend of mine, my pastor's son. He said, Brother Rob, he said, man, I wore this guy out for 4 hours and finally got this car down. I think they got about $6,000 off the price of the car. $6,000. You know, when you're talking a $40,000 or $50,000 car, you could play with that kind of money sometimes. And the thing is, they got the car down to this, and my pastor, when they got it all done negotiating, he was sitting there silent, not saying anything. And the salesman looked at him, he said, is that okay with you? And he says, I'll buy the car on one condition. And one condition only. And this, I could see the salesman going, my God. These guys, you know, they've done beat me up. They've done dragged this thing down. I'm probably getting half of a commission. You know, this, that's probably what's going through his mind. I'm just telling you. And the pastor said this, I'll buy it on one condition. If I could pay for it for the price that you originally asked when I walked in the door. And that's what they did. You see, that draw folks up. Why would a pastor spend $6,000 more when they negotiate out for the kingdom of God's sake? What's $6,000 to a God that has a cattle on a thousand hills? What is $6,000 in a business deal if somebody has a bad taste in their mouth about Christianity and about them wanting something for nothing? I tell you, when I'm out doing business negotiations to make purchases for the church, you know, and I see people saying, hey, you know, I'd like to help, I'd like this. I say, look, we're not asking for something for nothing. And that's not what I'm here for. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's too much of that going on. There's too many preachers that approach you like, you need to take care of me and you need to do me better. Which I can go down that trail, brethren. I could take you over in the scriptures and show you the responsibilities as a lay person to the pastor and to the support and to taking care of them. It's a responsibility, and you need to understand that and be taught that. I understand that. But just like I say, these ministries take the truth, brethren, and they take and twist it. The prosperity message has been so perverted. But then yet there's a truth in it. There's the most evident truth. But let's read on here. We're talking about the largest word in the English language, if. To observe and to obey all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come unto thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall the fruit of the body, the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store, blessed that shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Blessed shall thy grout job be, blessed shall thy tile laying be, blessed shall thy business be, blessed shall your paintbrush, blessed shall your tires on your car, blessed shall the engine, the transmission, the windshield, and everything in the paint. You say, you can't read all that in the Word. Oh, I surely can. Amen. I got the Spirit of the Word in me. Amen. And I tell you what, I know the Spirit of God, amen. I know His Word, hallelujah. You say, well, you can't add to the Word. Well, they add a New Testament to this. What is that? We're going to throw that out? For your information, that's speaking about to the book of Revelation. It's not speaking about the New Testament. In the New Testament, there's a scripture that says to write it and put it in a book and send it to the churches. So he said, well, you can't add to that. I'm the Spirit of the Word. Do you realize that? You're the Spirit of the Word. Huh? Come on. Oh, I don't know, man. That's reaching way out there, Brother Rob. You can't make a statement like that. Well, then you're Antichrist if you can't believe it. The Bible said if you don't believe that God is, not was, or going to be, that God is in the flesh. So if God's in your flesh, brother, let me ask you a question. How is it? By His Spirit. Huh? And what is His Word? It's Spirit. So if I got Him in me, I got the Word. You say, well, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, let me take you then to some more Bible. It says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It said what? These three are what? One. So am I correct here? But see, people are so carnal and so intellectual that they're afraid to speak by the Spirit of God. You know what? It's like, well, you know, I'm a man. Well, you'll die with all men. It's appointed unto men to die. Well, I'm a man. I was born as a man, shapen in iniquity. I said, yes, sir, you was. I'm a God, born of God, born of the Spirit, born again. You can't teach that. Well, Jesus did. Good enough for me. Blessed thou be when thou comest, and blessed be thou when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Amen. I tell you, I love God's Word. Amen. Y'all like the Word? The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in the storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, you might think about going and reading chapter 27, but it takes care of some of that in the latter part of this one too. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Oh, well, God's going to bless me just beside myself anyway. You know, that's just, he's just going to bless me. You know. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Remember when this whore, heroin addict woman was sitting right there, and I said, get up here. No. I said, get up here right now. I'm not being nice. I said, get up here right now. I'm going to cast the devil out of you. Well, the other woman who was sitting next to her got mad and ran out the door. And she said, I'm afraid of you. Yeah, she had something to be afraid of, because it was something living and dwelling in me. Had all authority over that demon that she was possessed with. At least there was a fear there. Let's go on. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of the ground, in land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. God's awesome, isn't he? Isn't it wonderful to be walking in the blessings of God? The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain, and unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Boy, isn't that an awesome thing? And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Now, if you want to put Israel here, you can. But if you want to put United States of America here, you can also. But remember what happened to Israel. And you could see what's happening to the United States of America. It's cursed. It's a cursed land, a cursed nation, and a cursed people. But let's go on here just a little bit more. See, that's going to make some of the, you know, the patriots a little upset. I'm not of America. I'm from the kingdom of God. Well, I appreciate America, brother. So do I. Hey, I live here too. I realized down there in Mexico running 75 miles an hour in a 40-foot bus. And we're driving along on a blacktop road, four lane, two going this way and two going the other way. We're cruising along saying, man, praise God, we're making some time. And I mean without no sign, no caution sign, no blacktop end sign, no beware, dip, bump, nothing. We're driving along and all of a sudden, man, we was airborne. Not long. But I mean, the road quit. The blacktop was gone. That's not a fun feeling. Yeah, I like America. You ever see a road like that in America? Huh? Yeah, I mean, at least if it's going to happen, it could give you a sign. Hey, dude, you know, blacktop ends in half mile. Running 75 miles an hour. Come on now. Yeah, I like America. I've been flying down in other countries and fly back into America. Yes, I've got out of the airplane and kissed the ground before I said, I'm glad to be home. What, did you really do that? Yeah, I done that. We had an engine failure on the way in. And you'll come in on one and you think, oh, yeah, I'm real glad. You know, I might have left America, but sure glad to get back down on it there before. You know, I could talk to you as an American. I could be as patriotic as every military man that you ever seen. And I could shake the hands to my veterans of America that have been in the foreign fields and shed blood or watched men killed and died. I got respect for them, brethren. I got respect and I honor them. And I probably honor them probably more than you do. I'll shake their hand when I'm over buying gas and a military guy comes up and he's putting gas in his car. I'll walk over and say, I appreciate what y'all are doing. I know you're out there getting in harm's way for some Muslim reprobate. But you know, I still greeted him, told him thank you. I'm sorry that your commander-in-chief's a reprobate. Oh, you can't speak against dignity, Brother Rom. Well, if you think that man's got dignity, then I'll come cast the devil out of you next. If there's dignity in that kind of perversion. You see, we got to rend the veil between being a man and an American and being a child of God, an ambassador for Christ, not of this world, and from heaven. You know, which one are you? Well, I'm born of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm eternal. I'm not of this world. I come from heaven. I was leaping for joy before the world ever was. That's what my Bible says. So how do you want me to talk to you? You want me to talk to you as a man? Oh, wretched man that we are. Who's going to deliver us from this body of death? Let's keep going for a moment. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. Let me ask you a question. If he's going to make you the head, not the tail, but there's an if in that, right? Come on. Was there an if there? So if you're not the head, then what are you?
Man, we got that one down. Don't need to say no more.
And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. And if thou hearken unto the commandments, there's if again. Wow. If thou hearken unto the commandments of thy Lord, thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Now we read all these things. We're like, woohoo, I like this stuff. When we're talking about being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, hallelujah. Man, our fruit of our body's going to be blessed and all these things. But now we're looking at the other side. Well, let's don't go this way. Let's don't look at this. Brother Rob, this is the law. You're over in the law. You want me to bring you over to the New Testament? Let me ask you a question. When they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, he says, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. Do you think that's a blessing or a curse? And when you find them in hell begging just for a little bit of spittle to be put on their tongue, you see, we got to understand the Word of God. If this Old Testament was written there for an allegory or for a shadow, you see, we're talking about the God that's the same to every generation. There's a dispensation of grace right now. In this time that we're in a dispensation of grace, we got to understand God. Thank God for his grace. But the grace of God has been taken to lasciviousness, the Bible says. The Bible said the Laodicean Day church, the people of that day and of that hour, they're rich and they have no need of God. And you know what, people? You know, everybody in America is rich. I'm telling you, the poor are rich. You see a little boy laying on his gut, sucking water out of a muddy, infested mud hole, drinking water. And their mama's there filling up a jug to take a thing of muddy water back to a hut that doesn't even have electricity in it. And you think that you're not rich? You're living in a promised land right here. This is allegoric to heaven. This is allegoric to Canaan, America. America started out with these things all in line, and they raised up this nation and the people of this nation, but now they're cursed because of the if. They're cursed now. America's cursed, brethren. It's a cursed land and a cursed nation, a cursed government and a cursed education system. When they took Jesus out of the school and they allowed you to teach Muslim, they had some teachers the other day teaching out of a Quran. But then yet you can't even mention the name of Jesus in the school system. America's cursed. Why is it that way? Why is it that we could talk about any other God, but we can't name our God, the founder of this land and the founder of this nation? Why can't we talk about our God? Do you realize that there was a handful of people that came over here to start this country and to write the foundations of this country? And do you realize on the British Empire, there was no place around this whole world that the sun ever set on the British Empire. In other words, they had land and domain all around this whole world. And a handful of guys that come over in a boat defied the system of that government to serve God. And God blessed that. Oh, you've read the history books and the stories. You know, but I'm telling you, they had to defy the largest government and the largest armies of the day and hour to be able to do this thing. God, you going to tell me God's blessing wasn't on this land? And when we take Israel over there, the little thing surrounded right now with all this perverse government and nations and people that hate them, that want to blow them off the map. But God has a way. But see, the hand of God is turning from the nation you're living in. You're standing on a time bomb in a nation that you dwell in. Do you realize that? Let me tell you, if there was no God and we're all just in this make-believe little world trying to satisfy our little finite minds because we're all just going to die and go back to the dust, they're on a destruction course without a God. But let me tell you something. The destruction is of God. God is the one that sends the destruction. Oh, you can't tell me that. You don't know your Bibles. Everything here, when you talk about the blessings, you could praise God, but when you talk about the curse, you better praise Him also. You understand that? We have to understand that. He's the one that does this. Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks and thy sheep. Cursed shall be thou when thou comest in, and cursed shall be thou when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursings, vexations, and rebuke. In all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. You need to rend every one of these things apart. I could take you back to these and bring you the spiritual revelation out of the shadow. I could bring you the object out of the shadow. You understand that? There's a world of shadow, there's a world of object, there's a world of light. And every one of these things are pointing to today. I tell you continually, there's a God that is, a God that was, and a God that is to come. And you better bring this thing right in. Matthew 24, everybody reads it, of this judgment that's coming in the future, and I can bring it to was. It's all taking place. Every single thing is taking place. Every single thing is taking place, and everything will come to pass in the future. You got to understand that. We miss God. We got theologians, brother, and they go into countries. They say the Antichrist is going to come in Syria. He's going to be this skin color. He's going to be of this nationality. This is where he's going to come. And this is what's going to take place. They've already got the temple furniture. And they got all this over there. And this is that and this. And they got it all worked out perfectly. And they're not wrong. But if we're waiting on the manifestation of the Antichrist for that, we've missed the one that's here today. You got family members that are dying and perishing. And people that are so moved by the Antichrist. You know, you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a son of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I say, praise God, man, I'm with you, I love you, I appreciate people that are led by the Spirit of God. But let me tell you something, there are people that are led by the spirit of Satan every single day of their life. They're led by the Satan, they're walking by Satan, they're speaking by Satan, they're hearing by Satan, they're working for Satan, and everything that they do is Satan emanating. And you say, well, you're talking about those wretched, filthy people out there in this world. I said, no, I'm talking about he came to deceive the very elect if it were possible. And there's people that think they're the elect of God, but they've been deceived, so that proves that they're not the elect of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. I teach things like this. I say that the Bible said we, as the children of God, the sons of God, we don't have a spirit of error. Can we stand on, oh, man, I ain't got no spirit of error. But you can err. I've erred. A spirit of error and an error is two different things. A spirit of error is when you stay continually in error, no change, no change, no change, and you keep in the same thing. We need to be careful about some of the dogmatic. You know, you say, well, you're dogmatic, ain't you, Brother Rob? Sure I am. And I hope you are in some things, but we need to be careful about when we're so dogmatic in our fleshly intellectual thoughts and mind that we won't hear the Spirit of God speak when He's speaking. We get, you know, we listen to the Word, we read the Word, we study the Word, we pray, we do all these things. And is it strengthening the anointing of the Holy Ghost, or is it strengthening your intellectual spirit to make you better, smarter, and to challenge somebody? When you find the Spirit and you want to challenge all the time, the Bible said, try the Spirit when you see of God. But you, the thing is, when you discern that it's of God and it's God speaking and you're still challenging, there's something wrong. Something's wrong. You can't do that. Let me tell you something. When I meet somebody, you know, you put the bread out upon the water and see if it returns. When I meet somebody, I got the sword of the Spirit up, like, and I'm ready. Because I got protection for my spirit. I got protection for the purity, the cleanness, the covering cherubs, you know, there at the gate of that garden to keep them out. You understand? We need to be that way. But the thing is you also, at the time when the ministration of the Holy Ghost is going and you lock it out, then you'll never conceive and never bring forth life or a child. You see, Brother Pike was ministering in his own church. He said, I've taught you ladies to guard over your spirits and to be careful. But he said, and he was even talking to the brethren. But he said, you got to let your spirit out. A woman that lets her spirit out to another man is a whore, unless it's her husband. She's a whore, I'm sorry to say. But when there's the anointing of the Holy Ghost going forth, they got to let their spirit out because it's to God. It's not to me as a man. It's to the Christ. And you're being married unto him. See, a man's got to do the same thing. You see, you let your spirit out to me as a man to man, then you're a sodomite. But you let your spirit out to God, it's clean and pure and holy. People think they're going to come in and discern my spirit, and they're going to think, well, that's Brother Rob, and that's God, this and that, and they won't let their spirit out, and they're barren. They'll never bring life. You got to learn when you could let your spirit out. You see, a woman that lets her spirit out to me, as a man, man, I am locked up. I tell you, if you could see in the spirit, I remember a cartoon, I think it was Speedy Gonzalez. I don't remember what he used to say, but I'm going way back, way back there, but he'd go, yeah, hee hee, boy, and he'd jump up and run about. He'd get them feet going about 600 miles an hour, and he'd hit the ground, he's gone. You could see old Speedy here, boy. You say, what's wrong with you, preacher? Well, you see, we got to guard. When you learn to walk in the Spirit, you got to guard over your spirit, and you got to see things in the Spirit. You know, and the thing is that if we could learn to step beyond the veil and watch things, what is the motivating factor? What is the spirit that's moving? What is the spirit that's making? And we'll find that there's things that are happening, and you want to be spiritual, and you want to be a soul winner, and you want to do this, but there's something unclean going on in the spirit dimension. There's something unclean happening in the spirit dimension. And you got to learn to perceive it, to see it, to watch it, and understand. Let's go on here a little bit. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee. The Lord will make cancer, tuberculosis, and all these things cleave unto you. And there ain't nothing to do to shake it except the divine miracle of God. You see poison oak out there, it has to do with your life. You see sumac out there, it has to do. You see the flower, the lily in the field, it has to do with man. You got to learn to differentiate these things and see it. You know, man is as the flower of the field. He rises up in his beauty for a short season, and then he fadeth away and perish. You see, when you trust your beauty, sisters, when you trust your strength, brethren, you trust your masculinity, when you trust your intellectual mind, when you trust your education and your knowledge and things like that, it's going to fail you. It's going to leave you. My mother was a brilliant woman. I mean, people paid her thousands of dollars to audit and to do books, big corporations, because she was sharp with numbers, and she can get into books and find out where people are stealing, robbing, and cheating. And she cost a lot of management people their jobs because she was a professional auditor for corporations. And she got up in her old age, and she couldn't remember her children's names. She got up in her old age and she couldn't remember what a refrigerator was called. She was looking at one. She goes, what is that called again? And you could see the fear in her eyes as her mind was leaving her. You could see the fear grip her mind because, you know, this thing has worked for me so good. It's got me through life. It's made a way. It's made a living. And all of a sudden now I can't remember what a refrigerator is. And you could see the fear in her heart and her soul gripping her. Don't put your confidence in your mind. Don't put your confidence in your thoughts. Don't put your confidence in your intellectual discernment. Don't put your confidence in your religious understanding. Don't put your confidence in your scripture retention. Don't put no confidence in the flesh. I was listening to Brother Pike in a message and he said, you know why sometimes the doctors can't help you when you go to the doctors? Because you sought them first. He said, if you would have went to the man of God first and said, please pray for me. Please lay hands on me and anoint me with oil. Please do some. He said, then you go to the doctor, that God could bless that doctor and give that doctor the ability to diagnose and to give you medication and it'll help you. But he said, you sought the doctor first, and he said, God is going to blow on everything and the doctor's mind, put a curse to the doctor's mind and his thoughts that he can't help you. You understand that? How many things do we do? I talked to you about putting a curse on your finances because you didn't honor God first. You can put a curse on your help because you didn't honor God first. We don't lean to the arm of the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit of God. There's so many intellects out there that are destroying the Scriptures and the Word and the Bible. They're destroying it. Some of you that go to the Facebook ministry, there's a gentleman out there, the people or Google-eyed over him. It don't matter what he said. Everybody's going to say, oh, yes, amen, brother. Man, I'll tell you, I appreciate it. And he's putting false doctrine and putting things out there. He said, if you're sick and you say you're not, you're a liar. And it says, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. And all these people jump on there, amen, brother. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. This guy's supposed to be an elder. And he puts some kind of ignorance out there. Let me tell you something. If you look at me and say I'm dying of cancer, and I say, no, sir. I've been healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He died and shed his blood and took them stripes on his back. And I believe what my Bible says. My Bible says that I'm healed. Amen. And I'm going to speak a profession. My Bible said that Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. My profession is I'm healed. My profession is I'm strong. My profession is I'm saved. Amen. That's the word of God. And just because some doctor says you're dying, you say, no, sir, I passed from death unto life and I cannot die. But somebody gets on there and says those things and people get on, amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. And these people are destroying people's souls and lives. And they're putting Godspeed to it. It grieves my heart to see that kind of stuff. Intellectual. I told you I read in a Bible dictionary. In a Bible dictionary where a theologian said, viper. And he said the viper like that bit Paul on the hand when they were shipwrecked. And he said, now, you know, he could have just, you know, the word was viper. And the definition of what a viper was uses an illustration of like what bit Paul on the hand. And then it went on. And it said that the viper was in the fire because he was putting wood in the fire. And the viper had put out all of its venom and striking at the flames of the fire and striping at the logs. And he had no venom, and that's why when he bit Paul on the hand, that Paul didn't die. You know, I would like to have a little powwow. Mr. Theologian, sir, can me and you sit in my office and talk for a few minutes? Honey, if you hear a lot of noise coming out of my office, sounds like breaking furniture and stuff, pay no attention. I just got to let you know I'm a man, too. You know I wouldn't do that. Is it wrong to want to? No. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. No, I'm just telling you, it grieves my heart You know, and they've got these programs, and I'm going by some of the things that I've read, and I didn't go watch these things, but I've heard some reports and different kind of things, so maybe you say, well, maybe you shouldn't come around. But they've got these programs on history. I think they call it History Channel and Discovery and things. And they're writing these programs and they're putting this stuff out there. Well, this is, you know, things that happened in the early church and this is really what happened, this and that. It's vomit on the tables of God. It's puke. And if you go to those things to try to learn something about the Bible, you are the worst kind of infidel fool that there ever was. You don't go to Hollywood. You don't go to some carnal-minded bunch of foolishness to try to understand the revelation of God in the mind of Christ. I mean, they're going to take away every miracle and they're going to discount it. I'm going to share something with you, and I've shared it with you before, but I'm going to show you that some of us heard this kind of mindset of a man wanted to project this as revelation. He went to the same church and went and sat under the same brother that I sat under, Brother Pike. And he was talking about the brilliance of the man's mind, that Elijah was gifted with a mind. Was Elijah gifted with the mind of the revelation of Jesus Christ? Well, that was before Jesus. Well, you don't understand your Bible. Or was he gifted with a superior intellectual mind? But when you're taught a doctrine that it was a superior intellectual mind, that he knew that the thunderstorms came in the afternoon. Now listen to me now. I listened to these things. I sat and studied and listened and I prayed and I listened and I kept my mouth shut because I was being changed. I was growing in the grace and knowledge of God, and I came to a place with a lot of error in doctrine, a lot of mistakes in my spirit, but the mercy of God was with me, and I knew that God drove me 2,600 miles to go to this church, and these were some of the things that I said under outside the presence of my pastor. And he said that Elijah understood that in the heat of the afternoon, in the hot days, and I'm a pilot and I understand that. And you could take off and the thing is in the afternoons the thunderstorms, they build up and the heat draws the moisture up and it goes up and you can get a lot of real thunderstorms in the afternoon. Yes, you could have them in the morning, you could have them at midnight, but those were usually built up in the heat of the day. And when Baal and all of the servants of Baal went out there and he was mocking them. You know, and he said, oh, go ahead and call down fire. But he let them go through the morning hours as they was mocking. But with his brilliant intellectual mind, with the brilliance of his mind, that he knew that we was waiting for the afternoon to come in with this thunderstorm. And he knew that water was a conductor of electricity. Get some water and pour it down on this offering here. We're going to make it real difficult for God. But knowing that water is a conductor of electricity and he's going to pull lightning down out of heaven. Just done away with the supernatural of God. Let me tell you something. One thing he failed to tell us is that it had not rained for 7 years. Come on now! How are you going to be calling in thunderstorms in the afternoon when it ain't rained for 7 years? It was a man of God. And he called fire down from heaven by the anointing of God and commanding the Lord God. But see, people want to take their intellect and destroy the Word of God. They want to get in their mind and their thoughts. They got God all reasoned out. And they're smarter than God. That's the abomination of desolation. We can't have that. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed. Who done this? Was it the devil? Was it the devil that said the Lord done this? A lot of times people are blaming stuff on the devil and he ain't nowhere around. Oh, I'm in trouble, man. The devil's robbing my finances. No, God blew on it, you ignorant thing. Oh, man, I'm having these problems in my health, man. The devil, this and that. I said, oh, God's blowing on your health to wake you up, you that suffer in the flesh. Cease from sin. That's what the Bible said. He'd see you suffer in your flesh for you could cease from your sin. We don't know God. We don't understand God. We always want to blame the devil, and it's God. What are you trying to do? Make him evil? No, he loves us. Amen. We're the sons of God. Didn't you just read what he's doing? He's blessed us in the going. He's blessed us in the coming. He blessed us in the field. He blessed us in the city. Amen. I just read it to you. But he also curses. Which one are you going to accept? Are you going to accept the blessing? Or are you going to accept the curse? Which one is going to be? If thou wilt walk in the commandments of God. Well, I'm not under the Old Testament. You better start reading the commandments in the new then. It said that the commandments of God are not grievous to us. And when the commandments of God are grievous, brother, sister, you know what? you're lost. They're not grievous to me. It's not grievous to come out of the world. It's not grievous to be peculiar. It's not grievous to me to separate. I don't want no part of this world because I see the clutches of the devil in it. You know, I'm a fat boy and I know you all know I like to eat. Okay? Put you a cheesecake back there, man, and get out of my way. But you tell me when there's poison in it, I'm not going to be running to it, am I? I'm going to say, hey, man, that thing's wrong. That thing ain't good. Ever been to a restaurant and somebody served you something tainted or bad? Man, I've been into some stuff like that. You know, it's like, man, how do you get this out of my mouth without looking too ignorant in here? You ain't never spit nothing back in a napkin before? Because when you know something's tainted, you don't want nothing of it. Who is the God of this world? Somebody help me out here. Who is it? Satan is the God of this world. This is his domain. This is his world. He's the God of the prince and the power of the air over the storms and all the things around here. Why do you want anything to do with this? Because it's a lure. He's going to grab you with it. He's going to get you with it, get his clutches in you. He's got the whole religious organizations now. They've got their rock and roll. They've got their music and they're tearing everything down. Somebody said that this little preacher named Osteen had gone on and made some kind of statements that Paul and Peter were wrong. That they were wrong. Now, if we're going to make them brethren wrong, then what foundation do you and I have? If these 12 apostolic leaders are wrong, then we have just destroyed the whole foundation of the Bible. I've heard Trinitarian preachers say that Peter was wrong when he spoke about baptism in Acts because he defiled what it said in Matthew. He did not, he fulfilled it. You see, brethren, there is such ignorance at display. Such ignorance. The Lord shall make pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land. Whether thou goest to possess it, the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption and with a fever and with inflammation and with an extreme burning and with the sword, with blasting and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth under thy feet shall be iron. How many farmers like iron dirt? It ain't no good to plow in. It makes it very difficult. Amen. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Remember, this is the God the same to every generation. You need rain and you're getting powder and dust. You know, in the New Testament doctrine, he said that when you don't come to worship him at Jerusalem, talking about in this millennium, he said there'll be no rain on your crop. You know what's going to be so awesome about that time? Is that you can have 40 acres over here and it'd be raining right up to your fence line and giving you nice, fertile, wet land. And the guy right next door that didn't worship the Lord isn't going to get none. And you'd think if it was that way that they would come and repent and come worship God. But they don't. Why? Why would they not, Brother Rob? There's one answer for that. It's the same reason we got people that sit in the house of God and don't take heed to the things that they hear. And the reason they don't take heed is because they don't hear. Because God blinded their mind. God turned them over to a stupor. God will not allow them to hear what the Spirit of God says. You understand that? He doesn't allow it. And you say, well, I can't believe he would do that. Well, you need to start reading about this great, awesome God that we're serving. He's blessing me in the going and blessing me in the going out and the coming in. Blessing me when I get up in the morning. He's blessing me when I'm in the city. He's blessing me when I'm in the field. Amen. Do you want to talk about him? Praise God. But I also know the curse. And I know that I'm not separated from that. If I would serve him. If I would love him. If I would walk in his counsels. If I don't, then what is it? It's a choice. You're making it. You're making the choice, you brother, you sister, you're making the choice. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. You see how it's the same reverse of the blessings? I tell you, it's a mirror. When you understand the blessings of God, you got to understand the curse. You understand the curse, you got to understand the blessing. It's a mirror. Everything applies that in God. If you look over this way, you got to look over that way. Paul made a statement. He said, understood the depths of Satan. You know what's so awesome about understanding the depths of Satan? You understand the heights of God. You'll never understand the heights of God until you understand the depths of Satan. You got to understand it. And what seems to be so devastating to you is God just bringing you to a higher place and a greater place. When something seems so devastating, God just taking you to new realms and new heights. Is there any height that doesn't have a travail to get to? Oh, but I'm walking on the mountains with the Lord. I say, praise God, amen, I'm with you. But you know what? We're accustomed to fight, travail, and suffering. Amen? Why is it in the natural thing at any of these mountaintops? Why is it in the natural that these depths, when we read about the pearl of great price, how come it is that a man gives his life to get that pearl down there? He goes so far into the depths holding his breath to get that pearl. But why is it that we have this Christianity of today that we live like pigs and dogs and swine? And we just live this lascivious life and, oh, God's blessing me. God's just so good. And the ifs in there, we have not done these ifs. We've done totally contrary to the ifs. Is this word real or not? Well, you need to get in the New Testament. I'll take you over there tonight if you want me to. But this is absolutely the shadows, the types, the allegories of the mind of revelation of God right here. He's no different today, brethren. The thing is that there's a dispensation of grace with the blood over the mercy seat. And God's not looking upon the iniquities of man. But when that thing comes off, it said you'll be seen of what you always was. You like to talk about it with the sons of God. Oh man, they're going to see me as the son of God, is what I always was. Hallelujah. But there's also, when the veil comes off, they're going to be standing there in their iniquity. They're going to be standing there in their shame. And it's going to be exposed to the whole world. Isn't that sad? The Lord will smite thee with a bulge of Egypt and with emrods and with the scab and with the itch where thou canst not be healed. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at the noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in the ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. I think of a brother that come against us, come up here smiting this work, smiting and smiting and smiting, and he was exposed right in the brightness of the day. It went out of his mind and his ignorance, and he went right back like a dog turning to the vomit, right back to the sports, right back to the ball games. Right back to those things. God hates sports. Because it's a god in this world. He doesn't like any other images. And let me tell you something. They are shutting churches down to play ball games on Sunday. It's an abomination in the eyes of God. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt not have none to rescue them. The sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of the land and thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for thy sight of thine enemies which thou shalt see. You can go read about these same things over in the book of Revelation. Amen. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore broach that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou hast set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods. wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and it shall be gathered but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes of the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all the coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruits of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him, and he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all the curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he command thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, and with the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, to hunger and thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. I wish I could take time to unveil all these things. It's happening in our midst, brethren. It is happening in your government. It is happening. Every one of these things is unveiling right now. I'm telling you, it's coming to pass. This land is going socialism very quick. And they'll have a yoke on you. Don't you worry, you'll see. You'll see the yoke, amen. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Look at your Obamacare, you see it happening. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kine or flocks of the sheep, until they have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until the high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trusted throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Amen. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all the gates. I've seen this right here in Christian Temple Church. Thus saith the Lord come to pass, what I'm reading right here. I've seen it. Eating their own children's flesh. You see, Jesus said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. But you didn't see it, perceive it, nor understand it. And you got to learn to watch things from another dimension altogether. These things are happening in your government. They're happening in your land. And sadly to say, they're happening right in the midst of the sons of God. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, that the devil is there also. You understand that? The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughters and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege, in straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. I've watched it. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Let me tell you something. There's people that will sit here and hear me preach like this right now, and they got the guns on me saying, you're bringing us under the law. Brother Rob, Jesus Christ came, fulfilled the law, and it's laid up and rolled away, and you're not going to bring me under this law. I've got the liberty to live. I got the liberty and the grace of God. You don't have the revelation of the Lord is your problem. The revelation and the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ does not give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license to live in this world. Come out and be a separate people, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. New Testament doctrine. And this is the vindication of it, to bring it out of the veil. And we're good in this religious ignorance. I'm not under the law. Bless God, the law that the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot more powerful than the law of Moses. If thou wilt not observe to do the words of this law that are written in the book, he says to write it upon your hearts now. We're writing it upon our hearts. He came and fulfilled it, brethren. He gave us the anointing of the Holy Ghost to fulfill the law. If you try to fulfill the law for salvation, you'll die and perish. But you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll fulfill the law. And the reason you fulfill it, because you're the anointed of God, showing that you've got all authority and all power over the adversary. Let me go back to 58 first. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, and the great plagues, and of long countenance, and sore sickness and long continuance. I could take you into some generational curses, and I watch these patterns and run through families that if they don't open up their eyes, they're going to be cursed with the same thing, thinking they're doing God a service, thinking that they're sons of God, and they're going to be walking in the same iniquities and in the same power and the same failures of their fathers and their mothers and their grandparents. Oh, but my grandma was a great, glorious, wonderful child of God. Well, praise God. Maybe you could look back over that way and see that she endured hardship like a soldier. Amen. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you. So the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even to the other, and thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. I know you could take this to the Jews and you can have a revelation, but you better bring it. If you could understand the Jew, the Protestant, and the Catholic, and start dimensioning, differentiating, you could see what come through the Catholic Church and in the Protestant Church is the daughter of the whore. And the Protestant Church came out of her. Amen. But the daughters of the whore are returning back under her. You understand that? When Paul Crouch and Jan Crouch stood in the United States of America and they said the Pope is coming back for his children, the prodigals. She was standing in the behalf of this religious reprobate nation, being the forerunners of this thing. And they stood there and done that, and it's an abomination. You would be better off to watch soap operas as watch TBN. Watch the Days of My Puke. than watch TBN. Watch all of the days of my perverted life before you watch TBN. TBN is the most wretched, filthy, perverted, ungodly, sinful perversion, and you look at it and think that it's God? You are defiling the Lord God of all creation, because it's an abomination to sit and eat with the wicked. And they mock holiness. They mock Christianity. They mock God. And they have all these unclean perverts and things on there. And they become gods to the people. And you're serving other gods is what you're doing. And you sit there and do it and think you're eating from the tables of God. And you're lapping up the vomit. The Bible says that the tables of God are filled with vomit. It says the tables are filled with gum. What tables? They're talking about this religious order of this day. Can you sit at the master's table? The dog returns to the vomit. I've been behind the closed doors with some of those people. The one that announced Paul Crouch every single day, every day on television, every day he announced him, was my friend. Sit down to dinner with him, fellowship with him. He was my Sunday school teacher. You understand that? And these people are perverted. Don't you love them, Brother Rob? No, I hate them. I hate them with a perfect hatred. I hate them because they're destroying the nation I live in and destroying the people of this nation. How could you say you love iniquity? How could you say God said that he hates them? He said, Jacob I loved and Esau have I hated. And it was still in mama's womb. And you say God doesn't hate you, don't know your Bible. He hates it. And he's pursuing the wicked off the face of the earth is what he says. That's what the Bible teaches us. We need to learn the word. And we better stay with it. Verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy feet have rest. But the Lord shall give there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. You know anybody in those kind of conditions? They got no peace. They can't find no rest. It's because of this perverseness just spinning in their spirit. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. You need to recognize iniquities in your children and different things. And when you see this tormenting fear and these things coming on them, you need to break that spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus and rebuke that thing and pray for your children. Because it ain't of God. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even, and even thou shalt say, would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. I hope you can understand Egypt, because I'm telling you, there's people bound in Egypt today, and they're amongst us. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Well, brethren, I know that was a lot of word to read this evening, and I'm not much of a reader, but I pray and trust and hope that you can unveil the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be a steward of the mysteries? You want to talk about the revelation of the Lord? You want to talk about these things in some kind of a mystical way and fast? But this is the simplicity of God's word. This is the mind of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Lord right here. This is the way he is. He's the same to every generation. And we want to make him this big, merciful God that's a whoremonger. I'm sorry. That's what the religion of America is doing. You see, the Catholic Church being the whore, they have made our God a whoremonger in their mind. We know he's not, brethren. He's pure, clean. And the only thing that he's ever put the scepter out to, when you go in and you see the king put the scepter out and they had the woman go through the ritualistics and the washings and all the things before the virgin could come unto her and before he would take her into this marriage tent, we see these things. The only time the scepter went out is when they passed all of this. You say, how do you do that? Through works? No, by the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, making you pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. And you say, well, that's me, Brother Rob. I believe that. Amen. I've been washed in the blood. If you've been washed in the blood, brothers and sisters, and you've been washed and regenerated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and made pure and clean and holy, that means you got the mind of Christ to draw you into all truth and all righteousness, because it is the Spirit of God, godliness and holiness and virtue. Amen. And He is going to lead you and walk you in the paths of God and holiness. Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see God. Without holiness, no bride will enter unto the King. Amen. Lest there be holiness. Amen. And virtue and righteousness. Amen. Rend the veil. Differentiate it. These things are all here for a purpose. Am I putting you under the law of the Old Testament? No. We're under such a greater thing, brethren. Such a greater thing. And Jesus is the one. You read the first part of this chapter and you like it. The blessings, the blessings, the blessings, and the praise and the blessings. I say amen. Rejoice in it. It's yours. If. Don't do the if part, brother, please. I don't want the if part. You know, brethren, He said, go ye there and tarry until you're endued with power. He didn't say, go there until you're endued with the ability to speak in tongues. He said, until you're endued with power. What is the power for, brethren? The power is to be a separate people, to come out of the unclean thing. Amen. That's your power. Amen. We got the power to put these things under our feet. Amen. We're not cursed, brethren. We're blessed. If you're a son of God, you're blessed. But look at it. Are you blessed in the field? Are you blessed in the city? Are you blessed in the going? Are you blessed in the coming? Oh, you're going to get into a prosperity message now, aren't you, Brother Rob? I'd love to. Woo-hoo. Get the offering baskets out. We're going to get into a prosperity. If you come and give unto me. Sad thing, there's some truth in it. It's not a sad thing. But they just perverted it. Take the truth and turn it into a lie. I love y'all and appreciate you. Stand with me. We didn't keep it too long tonight. I was preaching over in the Philippines. I mean, the power and anointing of God was strong and powerful. And I was preaching against Catholicism. It's a very strong Catholic country. And there's Muslim isn't a real big. It's a lot of Muslims there, and they're killing Christians. But it's not nowhere near as big as the Catholics. And boy, I started preaching against Catholicism. They had speakers that were taller than this roof right here. No exaggeration. They had the first level of them was here, and I'm telling you, they went up so bad, and they had these things, and I'm right downtown in the Philippines, and they had them speakers up there, and boy, I went to preaching against Catholicism, and I mean, they started coming out of the bars. They were opening the windows. It was in the city, and it was night, but there was a lot of lights. It was right, them cars going by and everything. It was a basketball court where they set us up at. They had the bleachers and everything. But I could see right out all around. And the people are opening up the windows and they're looking out and they started screaming and yelling and carrying on. And I had a wireless mic and I come off the platform. And I went out and I started screaming out against sin and against Catholicism and strong way. And they were opposing and coming out of the darkness. And a little old sister about that much shorter than my wife, she goes up to Irene and says, you got to stop him. They're going to kill him. She says, I ain't touching it. I ain't messing with him. That ain't my husband up there. That's something. That's something else over there. I ain't messing with that. And I tell you, when they started opposing, thought maybe I was going to shut down. But when I come off that platform and went out from under the covering of that thing with a microphone and point them right in the face and going to them, say, you'll die in your harlotry. You'll die in your drunkenness. You need to repent and get born again. And they started backing off. Because they come right up in the darkness. The lights projected so far out of this thing. And they come right up into the darkness. It was close. And when they seen the opposing of the Holy Ghost, amen, they backed off. Amen. They took us to a place down there. They said, you guys don't even get out of the car. Don't get out. He said, man, it's a bad area, a bad place. So we go two blocks down and they put me right out in the midst of this place and said, preach the gospel. Amen. I'm ready. You ready to be martyred for the Lord? Took us down and started preaching. Well, Brother Troy was down there with me. He said, you know, he's kind of a big guy and he really doesn't deal with fear, but he said, that scared me.
He said, man, that was a frightening place there. And I can't remember if it was hundreds of Christians that were killed there the week that we were there. And we're just in a few blocks of right where we were at, ministering the gospel. And you say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm saying our God's a mighty God, amen. That's what I'm saying. I'm nobody. But you get a report of they killed me out there on the field, just rejoice with me, amen. I'll be rejoicing in glory, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be a nice way to go out of here and check out being a martyr for the Lord, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people to repent of their sins and to come out of the world and to be a separate people, get filled with the Holy Ghost and they cap you, kill you, knife you, stick you, burn you at the stake, whatever. Praise God. Amen. You say, Brother Rob, don't talk like that. It might happen. Praise God. Amen. Do you want to die? I already did. I ain't got no fear of death. You got fear of death? It's been abolished. Amen. Well, I don't really want to go that way, Brother Rob. Well, how do you want to go? Well, I want to get sucked through the roof one day. Just stuck down there and be with the Lord forever. That already happened to me. And you say, man, what's wrong with you, Brother Rob? Well, which way is heaven? Which way is it? If you're up here and say, well, it's up there, and you're pointing up this way, what about the guy in Japan? Has he got to, like, jump off the earth and cruise around this way and then shoot up? I'm just asking you if that's where heaven's at. Where's heaven to you at? I'm in heaven. Brethren, I'm in heaven. I don't understand that. Well, the Bible said that we're dwelling in heavenly places. Now, you as a man right now, guess where you're at? You're in North Carolina places, ain't you? You know, aren't you, brother? You're in North Carolina, right? You're in North Carolina. I'm in North Carolina. Oh, we're in North Carolina places. But my Bible said we're in heavenly places. Well, where's heaven at? You see, there's another dimension, brethren. And if you could ask God to quicken your eyes, the Bible said the first man, Adam, being a living soul, the second man being a quickening spirit, if he could quicken your eyes for just a moment, you're going to see another dimension and another world right here where you stand. Do you think that Peter, when they saw the Lord Jesus and John, when it said they saw him in glory, they were right there on the Mount Tabor. That's at least that's where they have the Mount of Transfiguration at in Israel. Some think it was over on Mount Hermon. But regardless, but he said he was exceedingly bright. Do you think that when they saw Moses and Elijah with them, that they went off somewhere to another planet, some distant galaxy? Well, there's no time in the spirit. He popped them out there somewhere. Well, it makes you think it wasn't right here. The Bible said we're encamped around with a great cloud of witnesses. And the thing is there was a host of angels here tonight. A great cloud of witnesses confirming the word of God, encouraging the word of God. And if you'll yield your members over to this spirit, you'll find that it's no longer you speaking, but it's Christ speaking through you. And you don't come with preconceived ideas. You come to say, here I am, Lord, use me. And you allow him to speak to win souls, to bless, to curse. You understand that? Every service that goes forth, there's a blessing that's going and a curse that goes. Choose ye which one that you do. It's your choice. Twins are born in every service. There's a Jacob and an Esau. You understand that? Every service. And you got to see which one is birthing in you, your carrier. The disputes for your body. These spirits got to have a place. If they're not in you, speaking through you and using your body, they're out in the dry places, seeking a place of inhabitation. You could come into the anointing of God and the Spirit could leave you. But you better fill the void with the Holy Ghost, amen, or you'll found your house garnished and swept clean and that Spirit will go get seven more and come back. And the end of the matter, you'll be worse. Need to understand the spirit world of what's happening. We've turned these things into mysticism and all this stuff, but it's real. All right. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Brother Johnson, if you'll come up. You see, after a service like that, you need an altar call. Yeah, you do. You need an altar experience. Amen is what we need. And we need to stay before the throne of God. We've got to stay before God. We got to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Spirit on a continuous basis. Amen. Hey, Brother John, you be in church Sunday?
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.